listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Faith Alive, inspiring talks from the finest Catholic speakers. Today, the concluding talk from the 2017 Sacred Heart Congress, held at Christ the King Church on Saturday, October 14th, 2017, Father Stosh Daly, the administrator of Holy Family Church in Columbus, Ohio. This talk is Father's homily from that day's Mass. To download a copy of this talk or to share with somebody else, please visit the special features page of our audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. And for more information on the Sacred Heart Congress, the devotion, and home enthronements, please visit sacredheartcolumbus.org. And here's Father Stosh Daly. Enjoy!
A very sincere welcome and note of gratitude to all of you who have come here today to this church dedicated to Christ the King. We have now entered into and are soon to have brought to a close this sixth annual Congress of the Sacred Heart. It is good for us to be here in this church this day, basking in the glory, the jubilant celebration of Holy Mother the Church, following a day of penance wherein that penance was broken by love. A tender, affectionate, motherly love. In God's holy providence, it is fitting that a day such as Friday would be triumphed over by the simple memory of love manifested by a mother who's striving to remain obedient to God, left the peace and beauty of heaven to instruct, to embrace, and indeed, one may fairly assert, to save her children. As yesterday unfolded, we could not but help, if we paid attention, we could not but help be moved by the tender affection that God has for humanity. This affection which took the form, it became palpable, undeniable through the visit of the Holy Virgin to three simple yet profoundly beautiful children. Having brought to a close the 100th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady in Fátima, Portugal, we gather here together around this sacred altar to heed the words of the Holy Virgin and to show by our presence that her effort, that her message was fully received and made our own. Whenever we draw close to Jesus, whenever we respond to the living God, whenever we repent and believe, we not only give ourselves over to the living God, our Lord Jesus Christ, we not only unite ourselves to Him on the cross and participate in His life-saving and life-giving act, that oblation He renders unto the Father, but we also assuage and console the heart of a mother who loves so much, who loves to the depth of her being, the Lord and those who follow Him. Keeping this in mind, this context of time, and even the beauty of this church, our focus is, bodily speaking, oriented towards the altar. Spiritually speaking, it is the hunger within that demands the food from on high, which will sustain us and strengthen us for this journey through life. What mother would not want her children to have that meal, which would strengthen them satisfy their needs, and prepare them for the way. While we are gathered around this altar, and spiritually speaking, we hunger for the fruit of that sacrifice, it is important for us to also acknowledge that when we exit, when we depart this sacred place, and we return to the world, there is a task that must be accomplished. And that is the need to make holy our homes. It is the need to make holy the world. As Father Schock so beautifully explained, the windows that encircle us exemplify the reality of the Creed. These words which have been placed into glass remind us of the power of speech, the need for action, and the desperation for consecration, to make holy, to give back to God, to participate in the sacrifice which will allow the Lord's gift of life and love, of peace, of forgiveness, to overwhelm all of creation, to encircle and captivate every person's mind and their heart, so that each one of us are completely pulled into God's love. And no one is forgotten by God, and no one has been abandoned by their mother in heaven. It is striking to consider that those who have spoken this day were so profoundly shaped by, formed under, and are devoted to the person of the great Saint John Paul II. It is interesting to note, just for you to note, the three priests who are up here, we entered seminary under the pontificate of that great Holy Father. It was his letters, his preaching, the focus of John Paul II, which was absolutely and undeniably Marian and Eucharistic, but it was oriented towards the weakness and the frailty of the human condition. So regardless of who may have been listening, where they may have lived, what they may have done, for good or for ill, it was of utmost importance that every single human person come to understand the depth of God's love for that individual, and the need for that love to not only be acknowledged but made one's own, that that love become a cradle for life, our own lives. The three priests in the sanctuary entered into seminary during those great years, during those tumultuous years. And under God's holy providence, the promptings of the Holy Spirit and the loving embrace of our Holy Virgin, these three priests persevered to the altar. Sister Joseph Andrew met all of us when we were baby seminarians. So if you don't like how we preach, blame her. If you don't like how we forgive in the confessional, blame her. She relished in the opportunity to be a spiritual mother to the over 100 seminarians at the Josephinum at that time. And anyone who knows the sisters who have struggled to remain faithful and to thrive, regardless of their congregation, whether they be the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Sisters of St. Dominic, the Immaculate Conception Province, the Little Servant Sisters of the Immaculate Conception, the Servants of Mary, Ministers to the Sick, the Brigittine Sisters, the Missionary Sister Servants of the Word, all of the sisters who are present here at this Mass, all of these sisters who work tirelessly for the salvation of souls, whether they are religious or priest, we walked away from that pontificate with so much to consider and onto which we could hold. Not the least of which was the importance of God's love. The love that must be made manifest in every single home. There are too many people today who go hungry, who go thirsty, who have their hearts rendered and scourged in public. And while we are busy as a society and a culture grappling with the chaos and the confusion, the violence and even the turmoil that arises from a lack of belief, the remedy to all of the social ills at this moment is easy, it is simple, it is profound, it is Jesus. But as our own beloved and venerable nation backs further and further, farther and farther away from the gospel of life, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ, our mission is now becoming all that much more noticeable and imperative. We must preach the person of Jesus Christ. He must have a reign that is rooted in every single home. So if you find yourself struggling with the reality of depression, of abandonment, if you think that rejection has become the perfect summary of your life, there is only one person who can solve all of that, and it is Jesus. And he gives his heart to you so that in that heart you may have a home. He gives his gospel to each one of us so that we may not only read and reflect upon, but enter into and understand how we are called to live life. How we are called to prepare for our experience of the life-giving union that comes from our reception of the Lord in Holy Communion. But that blissful, joyful, heavenly experience of union with the Lord in Holy Communion is not supposed to be a moment confined merely to the sacred space of the church, but it is supposed to be also an offering to the whole world. But how so often is the case when we leave the church, we leave there as well the Lord. We leave Jesus at the altar where we come to adore, venerate, and receive. We do not carry him into our homes. The emptiness of humanity today is what is driving us towards the brink of absolute and self-destruction. And Our Lady, when she came to Fatima, she tried and she tried and she tried, and by our own obedience to her message, we will prove her to be faithful and successful. She tried to pull us away and out of ourselves and to focus once again on her Son. To do not look anymore to who is to your right or your left, but to look straight ahead towards the Lord who is Christ. To acknowledge the profound beauty found within humanity and to understand it was authored by God. And there is no one person who is far from his love, but there are many who look away from his heart. And because they look away, they are blinded towards the power of his love and mercy. The epidemic, the pandemic of impurity, of infidelity, of pornography, gambling, addiction, foul language, all of these things issue forth from the heart of the man or the woman who has turned back, who has turned away from the light of Christ. The message of Fatima was a message of peace, but that peace is only obtainable if we go to the Prince of that peace, if we embrace the Son who she brought into our midst, if we listen to her, if we follow her towards complete union with him. Just a couple of days ago, in preparation for this beautiful event, the Lord let it be known I had to flee to the hills. So an opportunity of charity arose, and I understood it came from him. Following that act of charity, I was joined with another fellow, and we went for a very brief hike in the Hocking Hills to Old Man's Cave. And while you enter into the recesses of what time has allowed the Lord to create in that part of Ohio, everyone goes there to see Old Man's Cave. but it's really not that much to look at. And if you're not from Ohio, you're expecting an actual cave, and you're rather disappointed when you realize it's not. It's a big rock that protrudes out. You walk down, you turn back, you look, and you say, I'm going to keep on going. Everyone goes there for that one dimension, old man's cave, but they keep on walking and walking and walking. And you come to what is actually even more beautiful. It's called Cedar Falls. And you realize, if I had started here and gone to Old Man's Cave, it would be a letdown. But starting there and coming here, it's profoundly beautiful. It's a moment of peace, a moment of rest. And it can be a moment of prayer. While there, overwhelmed by the majesty of creation, one cannot but help acknowledge the fact that this would all mean nothing if it weren't for the human person admiring it. What would any of that mean if no one hiked there? What would any of it mean if no one were to see it? It'd be a stream of water running over smooth rock. It would mean nothing. But because people are there, the beauty is noticed. The beauty is heard, the beauty is received. But what's of interest is no one goes to see Cedar Falls. Everyone goes to see Old Man's Cave. How often do your family members travel to your home for Thanksgiving? But did they go to see the house? Unless they're nosy, they actually went to see you. You are the treasure of that house. But if you want the treasure that is your humanity to shine and to give witness to the world within your home, the Lord must radiate through you. And my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, too many Christian homes today do not have the Lord within them. This is why church attendance has fallen. This is why people think it's perfectly fine to go to Mass and to receive Jesus and to go back to their ways of mortal sin. People have allowed loneliness to be the word that defines their existence, rather than union with Christ to be the summary of their life. What is the goal of those who enter into your home if not to see you? But what do you offer those visitors if you do not offer the Lord? A moment of talk? A sweet embrace? Our children today suffer so incredibly. The little ones of today and time need Jesus. From the children who are born into a world that has not known peace, to the unborn who are no longer automatically given the right to life, to our dear brothers and sisters who have lived their lives in this human journey only to be abandoned on their bed in the nursing home, to the countless numbers of men and women who are in the midst of the middle of their journey through life and they wonder with a profound question, does anyone know I exist? These are the people who enter into your home to visit you. The questions that plague the human heart today can all be answered with one question, which directs us to one answer. And the answer is best summarized with one word: Jesus. These words are supposed to be summarized by the title, The Sacred Heart for Today. In this moment in time, people are hungry. They are thirsty. They are searching for the meaning of their existence. They're yearning for the reason behind suffering. But none of those questions can be answered apart from the Lord. The emptiness of our humanity can only be sufficed and assuaged by the Lord Himself. And it takes a mother to teach that lesson to her children. It takes brothers and sisters who believe and then come to know. It takes their witness to instruct humanity. So you see, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord responded to the coldness of humanity in the 1600s and made clear the message of his heart and how that heart burns and beats with love for each one of us, why did humanity not listen? Every Christian, every Catholic Christian home had the Sacred Heart at the center of its structure. Our Lady came to remind us of that love, that warmth, the need to open ourselves through God's grace and to repent and to become united to her Son. She came to remind us. Why did people not listen? Why are we so easily distracted? Why do the things of this world fascinate us, distract us from the things of above? It's because we who do believe and know don't give witness. We act as if we don't really buy into the whole message ourselves. The heart burns and it beats with love for each person here and every person everywhere. There is an urgency to this message. I beg you as a priest of Jesus Christ, I beg you as a man who was formed under the pontificate of John Paul II, who was ordained under the pontificate of Benedict XVI, who now strives to serve the people of God under our current Holy Father, Pope Francis, I beg you to please join with me in making widely known and forever available the heart of Jesus Christ to all people. But my pulpit is here. Your pulpit is everywhere. In order for this message to bear fruit, you too must have a message for the world. That message must be proclaimed in your homes, in the schools, in your businesses, in your cars, when you're walking along the path or hiking in the Hocking Hills. In those moments of frustration, there must be one word that best summarizes the message you offer to your neighbor, and it is Jesus. And when people think the Lord is far, expose his heart to them, because everybody responds to the heart. We may not always understand the words that are spoken. We may not always be able to be present where the event unfolds. But the heart is found everywhere. In every person, in every message that is sincere and authentic, in every altar of every Catholic church, in every tabernacle of the world, the heart is found. But that heart must also be found in your homes. That heart must be found above your computer. That heart must be found in the reality of your phone. It must be found near the TV, because that heart is what will shed light upon the darkness that can so easily come to us from all of those devices. That heart is the only way we can understand and appreciate the harshness of today's world and survive it. The heart of Jesus. We all know we need to be forgiven. But the source of that forgiveness, the wellspring of that mercy, is the heart that beats out of love for us. Let us make a message and send it to Our Lady that her mission is successful, that we have heard and we respond to the pleading of her Son, that we acknowledge she, who is his mother, to be our mother as well. But the child she bore for us will be, is now, our God. Let us make her message and her effort successful by bringing her Son into our homes, into our lives, into all of creation. It is a task you cannot leave for your neighbor to do. It is a responsibility for every disciple to participate in and to make their own. as we soon bring to a close this Holy Mass and this Congress and we return to the world, the pace of life can so easily distract us, overwhelm us. Remember this day because of the heart that was exposed before you. Remember this day because of the heart she bore for you. Remember this day because of the heart who was made present on this altar within and among you. Remember this day because of the heart that now beats within your own. Remember this day because of the heart that accompanies you. And in those moments of difficulty, tribulation, joy, and laughter, may the heart of Jesus Christ reign in your home and in your lives. May he be the beauty that you so generously direct the attention of those who have come to visit you towards. May the Lord be our all in all. And through our love for him and our dependence upon him and our acknowledgement of her prayers for us, may his reign endure forever.
Faith Alive is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. We just heard from Father Stosh Daly and his homily at the 2017 Sacred Heart Congress. If you'd like to download a copy of this talk or share it with others, please visit the special features page of our audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. If you'd like to learn more about the Sacred Heart devotion, please visit sacredheartcolumbus.org. For the remainder of our time together today, we're going to hear again from Sister Joseph Andrew and Father John Paul Mary, two speakers at the Sacred Heart Congress this year, and the interviews that we did as a part of the October 6th Sacred Heart Hour. So we're going to start with Sister Joseph Andrew, and then we'll hear from Father John Paul Mary. Enjoy!
Right now, we are privileged to be joined by Sister Joseph Andrew from the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, headquartered in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Sister, are you there?
I am here, Father Stosh.
Well, welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, Sister. We're looking forward to hosting you here in Columbus at our 6th Annual Sacred Heart Congress coming up on October 14th at Christ the King Church. Sister, you're coming all the way down to, you know, the land down under from the state up above, Michigan, and you're going to be with us to celebrate not only the reality of our Lord's love through the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ, but also on that special day, to guide us into meditation on Our Lady of Fatima. What are some of the thoughts you're going to be sharing with the people at the Congress of the Sacred Heart?
You know, Father Stosh, I was raised, my family raised us to love, out of all the apparitions, the Marian apparitions, Our Lady of Fatima is my number one. So I consider it a great gift that I will be able to be sharing with all these wonderful people some reflections on Our Lady of Fatima on this 100th anniversary. And actually, after praying about it quite a bit, even praying in Fatima when I was supposed to be able to go this several months ago now, I decided to talk about the children because I think the children lead the way, and that's very scriptural. And I just love those three children that Mary, out of all the children on the face of the earth at that particular point in time, chose these three little shepherds and shepherdesses. And I love them. I love how each one had a different personality and temperament, responded in their own honest way before God and the Blessed Mother, and how God used that gift of themselves in these little children, each one differently.
Exactly. And what's beautiful is for those who will be coming to the Sacred Heart Congress, who could possibly resist that Southern twang, which is going to be leading us into Jesus' love and his heart, but also meditating upon the significance of those three little children and how they respond to the heart. I mean, who could not deny a little one that wants to crawl up into one's lap and just hug and embrace and be close to the heart. And you're going to be guiding us. Now, what's the talk? What's the title of your talk that you're going to be giving to us?
Well, the title of my talk is scriptural, Unless You Become as Little Children.
And of course, your sisters have an incredible love and fondness for children as instructors and teachers.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you have much to share with regard to your own classroom experience about how children respond to the heart.
That is for sure. You know, we always say to the sisters as they enter and go through the formation program in our community and receive their degrees to teach, you know, grab the heart first. And I think that, too, is it's good psychology, it's good spirituality. If we don't let them love us and love God in us and the Blessed Mother in us, then we're just asking them to parrot back, so to speak, you know, knowledge. And the reality is, especially when it comes to the faith, we have to, yes, we have to know it, but we will open our hearts wider and wider to the truth the more that we find ourselves falling in love with Christ. And as you said, Father Stosh, so beautifully, who isn't in love with that Sacred Heart and who isn't in love with that Immaculate Heart? And how perfect that it was Our Lady of Fatima who really stressed her apparition as the gift of the Immaculate Heart. And then this with the Sacred Heart Congress is just a perfect completion, as Pope John Paul II
would say. And, you know, we all know, and we're invited to go deeper into how the Lord revealed His Sacred Heart because humanity had grown cold. And then in Fatima, Our Lady is sent on this special mission to remind people of that warmth that you can only find in Jesus. And, you know, what would you say is most important for people to keep in mind as we're looking ahead to the Congress? And how would you consider inviting them? To what degree? You know, what is it about your talk and Father John Paul Mary and just meditating on the Sacred Heart? What would you throw out there to people to consider as, you know, that mind grabber, that attention holder?
Okay, this for all those who are listening who are planning on coming, I want to challenge you to 3 Hail Marys every day from today until the Congress, because I always believe if we prepare ourselves spiritually. Now, everyone who is coming is extremely busy and all that, but I think if we just set that little bit apart, then as each speaker you know, gives these reflections, and then we have the beautiful Mass and everything, our hearts will be open and receptive to that grace. It's interesting, before Mary appeared to the children, what were they praying? They were praying the rosary. Now we know they didn't pray that very well.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, according to their maturity and their ability, I suppose you would say, and as children, Mary knew that she had their hearts, and so even in their weaknesses, she still loved that. And what did they yell across those mountains? But Hail Mary.
Yep.
And I think that's a beautiful preparation. So I would just say prepare by thinking of the openness of Mary in particular and the first mystery of the Rosary and that Annunciation. She did not know what she would be given to receive, but she did know she wanted to receive whatever God's plan was, and she poured herself out in a totality. So I think the Hail Mary teaches that totality of gift of self and lets God pour into us as His vessels whatever He wills.
And it gives us each an opportunity to reflect on the significance of our own childhood and how we relate to the Lord and the Blessed Virgin, and how this time around in Fatima, Our Lady didn't wait for the angels to go and collect the shepherds.
Exactly.
She went out and got them herself. You
Good
know?
For you. Oh, I like that very much.
Awesome. You know, there's no compliment like a compliment from Sister Joseph Andrew. When you hear that, good for you. Yeah.
You are so funny. That's
Sister,
funny,
everyone down here in Columbus and those who will be participating in person and on air is going to be so deeply enriched, first of all, by your presence, because it'll communicate that beautiful love for the Lord, but also that living image that you give to all of us through your consecrated life of being in the person of Our Lady as Mary, as Mother, and as one who loves the Eucharist. And it'll be such an incredible privilege for everyone at the Sacred Heart Congress to, first of all, just be with you and your sisters, but also to hear the words that you have to share and that instruction you'll give us into the ways of how to follow Our Lady back to the Lord. And you, of all people, have been so instrumental, along with you know, all of your sisters, in really restoring to the forefront of our minds and hearts all that was good and all that is good in the life of John Paul II, and highlighting Our Lady and Our Lord. And it will be such an incredibly fruitful and beautiful privilege to have you with us down here at the Sacred Heart Congress.
Well, I'm ready right now.
Oh, hon, I know you are. Knowing you all these years, you're ready to go.
I sure am.
Well, thank you so much, sister, for joining us on air here at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
Thank you.
God bless you. And we'll be soon joined by Father John Paul Mary of Divine Mercy. We are so blessed to have that invitation to meditate on Our Lady and Our Lord. So, actually, I think Father's with us right now. Are you there, Father?
Father Stosh, good to hear your voice. How you doing?
John, I'm doing very well.
Hello,
long time
Father.
No see.
Hi.
This is Joanne and Chuck Wilson, Father.
So happy that you're coming. So excited.
I can't wait. It's going to be a great conference, Congress.
Yeah. Something of a homecoming for you, right? Didn't you spend some time here in Columbus?
I lived in Columbus for 6 years. I went to DeVry Institute of Technology for 2 years, and then I ended up in seminary at the Josephinum, and I was Father Stosh's classmate in
cohort.
Seminary.
Criminal and crime.
Yeah, we had a good time. It was a good 4 years, and I hope that we get to visit the Josh.
Oh, I'm sure the Lord will work out that.
Okay, find that.
Now, Father, you're coming back to Columbus. It's something of a homecoming, and it's a beautiful privilege for us to welcome you back to Columbus as we enter into this 6th Annual Congress of the Sacred Heart. Tell everyone who's listening to the Sacred Heart Hour on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, where did your devotion to the Sacred Heart begin?
I think, first of all, any Franciscan has a devotion to the sacred humanity of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Just by the reason that God became one of us, God became man in all things but sin, that God himself, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, took on flesh, that he was given eyes, that he could see the multitudes of people that were suffering, that he was given hands, that he was be able to reach out to those who were in need, and that he is given a heart also that continues to beat this day for all eternity. Some people would tend to think that, oh, God became man, suffered and died on the cross and was resurrected, and then all of a sudden he doesn't keep his sacred humanity. That's not the teaching of a church. That's actually heretical. Jesus Christ keeps his sacred humanity, and we would call that the hypostatic union, for all eternity, and that his heart beats for us even now in heaven.
Now, wow. Father, these are all profound truths that keep us focused on the Lord. But, there's a lot of people in today's world, as you know, having worked with EWTN, there's a lot of people who struggle with relevance. So you highlight through your own Franciscan vocation, your priesthood, your own discipleship, that there is this deep-seated yearning for union with our Lord, and how the Lord comes to claim us for himself through that union. But when you encounter people who struggle with just the relevancy of our Christian faith, the relevancy of the Sacred Heart devotion, why would I bring something old like the Sacred Heart into my home? How would you respond to someone who really struggles with just the invitation?
Because, Father Stosh, because Christ, because Jesus is interested in us.
Very good. Mm. Yep.
I think, that's one of the things that my foundress, Mother Angelica, experienced in her own life. As a teenager, she had struggled with her own life. She had her own struggles. At 7 years old, her father left her, abandoned her and her mother. She had her own struggles with physical, with a stomach ailment, and then so some of you know the story about her praying the novena to Saint Therese after meeting the mystic Rhoda Weiss. And Mother says that in that instant, on the ninth day, when she says the Lord healed her, she said not only did the Lord heal her of the stomach ailment, but more profoundly, she said, I knew that Jesus loved me. And she said, I knew that he was interested in me. I think so many people in our world today don't realize that the Lord Jesus has a vested personal interest in each one of us.
And that would be, wouldn't you agree, that's, when you and I were in seminary as younger men.
Yes.
We were so blessed to be under the pontificate of John Paul II, and that was such a powerful message that he would always preach and proclaim, that the Lord loves and that no one is forgotten. And, you know, as your own mother foundress, Mother Angelica, so beautifully highlighted and made known in TV and in print, as well as on the air, that the Lord is invested. I love how you put that. The Lord is, you know, he's interested in us. And I think that's very important in today where so many people struggle with loneliness. So many people struggle with being apart.
We live in such a world today, don't we, where we think we are so connected. You know, we have our iPhones or smartphones. We have social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And some people are focused so much on just these impersonal conversations that you have over these this medium, even through email, and people don't know how to have a heart-to-heart conversation with somebody literally right in front of them, right? And we can think that we're so connected, you know, oh, I have 2,500 friends. Well, do you really?
Right, exactly.
You know, and but is at the top of your friend list Jesus Christ?
Mm.
And, you know, am I spending time with him, first of all? Because I can't give what I don't possess. You know, the old Latin phrase, Stash and I learned, nemo dat quod non habet. You cannot give what
I'd
you
say that
don't
to myself
possess.
Every night before I went to bed, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You cannot give what you don't possess. So if I don't possess, if I haven't taken in and interiorized a relationship with Christ, if it hasn't changed me, then I can't give that away. I can't give away something that I don't have. So, you know, in a world of loneliness, I think this is a message too that Saint now Mother Teresa interiorized so much, and she taught by her manner of life that Jesus thirsts for us even. You know, and that's a meditation that's even throughout the Gospels, that Jesus thirsts, not only on the cross, but what did he say at the woman at the well? When he met the woman at the well, he said, give me a drink. Now, he was obviously interested in her, right? You know, he was interested, he wanted her love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't just interested in a drink. You know, he wasn't just thirsty. Sure, he had made the journey from the city to Samaria, but Jesus wasn't just interested in water. He was interested in her faith.
In her whole life.
In her whole life.
He wanted her whole life, yeah.
Her whole life.
Now, I have known you. I've been blessed to know you for now about 17 years since we entered seminary.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and ever since we entered, Father John Paul has always been very close to the Blessed Virgin Mother. And his intimacy with the Blessed Virgin Mother, as well as his love for the Sacred Heart, really, you know, caught the attention of Chuck and Joanne Wilson when they were visiting EWTN. Father, you're with us on air live. How would you best summarize from your own prayer life the beauty between Our Lady, especially as she appeared in Fatima, and the reality of Our Lord's Sacred Heart? How would you best summarize that connection? I'm throwing you on the carpet and putting you on the spot. But, you know, just in a few moments, like, how would you best summarize the relationship between Our Lady of Fatima and the Sacred Heart?
You did throw me under the carpet. and that's good. You're good at that, son. Father, son. Mary, the Blessed Virgin Mary, gave the eternal Son of God flesh and blood and bone. By her yes, by her consent, and this is so important in the Christian life. This is so important that the Lord gives us free will, right? And so he wanted the free will. He wanted the free will consent of one of his creation, the greatest, really, of his creatures, of his human creatures, that is, the Blessed Virgin Mary. He wanted her consent in the plan of the Incarnation. So the Blessed Virgin Mary gives, by her consent, she gives flesh and blood and bone to our God. You know, she provides what we would call in theology the material means of our redemption. She provides the blood that would be shed on the cross. She, and if it wasn't for her, the Son of God would not have a heart beating.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, the flesh and the blood and the bone was from her. It wasn't from the seed of man, because she was, yeah. But because the eternal God, the eternal Son of God, was born by the power of the Holy Spirit.
So she becomes an automatic and very natural path for us, the only path towards complete union with Jesus. It is Our Lady.
Well, if you, I like to look at it this way. We cannot outdo Jesus.
But many try. But we can't.
And we cannot outdo him. And if Jesus is really truly the Son of God, God the Son, he lived the fourth commandment perfectly. Perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say to the Lord, and I also say this to him, Lord, help me to love you, or rather, help me to love your mother as you do, let me tell you, I'm not going to love Mary more than Jesus. You know, nobody. I think this is something that our separated Christian brothers and sisters, our Protestant brothers and sisters, can meditate upon, is that, you know, just for them to ask the Lord, you know, help me to love Jesus' mother, help me to love Mary as much as you, Jesus. And he will, trust me.
That'll change a lot.
He will. Yeah. He will help you to love his mother. Because he gave us her from the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He gave St. John, when he said to St. John, behold your mother, he was telling St. John basically to take Mary not just into his home to take care of her after he left, but in the original language, I believe in the Greek, it even says something like, take her into your entire self, your entire being, everything that is yours, take Mary into.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Now, your talk that you're going to be presenting at the Sacred Heart Congress, the 6th annual, it is coming straight from Our Lady as she appeared in Fatima. But we don't want to scare people away by it. So that's why we're going to have a Franciscan from several states away come and present this talk. So
okay.
Why don't you highlight the title of your talk at the 6th Annual Congress of the Sacred Heart and the significance, and why would people want to come and learn more?
Sure. You asked me, well, what do you want to talk about? And I was thinking about it for a while, talk about the Sacred Heart, talk about devotion to Mary, and I thought something kept on coming up to me, and it was penance, 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 and it wouldn't go away. And I'm like, oh gosh, Josh is going to kill me. Like this. So I wrote it down. I think you were shocked you didn't respond for a while.
Those who are closest to me know that's quite normal.
But penance, penance, penance. I mean, what is penance, first of all? I think we live in a world today that we don't do penance.
Correct. Yeah.
We've lost the sense of what it means to do penance, and I'm not talking about penances. I want to make that clear. That I mean, sure, we do penances during Lent and Advent, even maybe, and we take up sacrifices. But penance really is part and parcel of the gospel. The Lord says, you know, repent and believe in the gospel. That's penance. And I think, you know, in the spirit of our Holy Father, St. Francis, who we just celebrated 2 days ago, his life was not just about just a number of penances, but he truly lived the life of penance, singular,
mm-hmm.
not just penances, plural, but we need to live this life, and penance is not just a matter of the number and chalking up, oh, I did this and I did that. I gave up meat, or I gave up coffee, or I gave up soda. Sure, you know, we can give up good things, and that's good. But first of all, we need to, when we repent, when we do penance, first of all, we turn away from sin.
Mm.
first and foremost. We turn away from sin. We turn away from any obstacle that is preventing us in our relationship with Almighty God, most of all keeping the commandments, being faithful to our duties in life, our state in life, whether that be priesthood, religious, or married life, single life. Whatever is keeping us from the gospel, from Jesus.
So you're really going to be inviting all of us who are going to be there to consider penance, not as something that is done, but as a way of life, as a disposition of the heart.
The gospel life.
Exactly.
The gospel life, yes. And it's not just something that is done, it's something that is interior.
And penance, how would you best describe
the... That penance is not just something that is done on the outside,
yeah,
but something that is interior. It's a conversion, a change.
What's your... how would you challenge or invite or encourage the listeners today on the Sacred Heart Hour, or those who will hear the advertisements over the next week? You know, what are your words of encouragement, invitation, or even challenge to stir within their hearts that movement of the Holy Spirit to understand why it would be a good thing, why it would be a beneficial thing, why it would be a life-giving thing to be present at the Sacred Heart Congress?
Well, I think, most of all, I think we'll be talking about enthronement to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in your home, and enthroning your whole family, giving Jesus Christ dominion, reign over your life.
Beautiful.
Over your family,
yep,
inviting Jesus Christ into your life, into your family. And through, I think, these talks that we'll hear, Sister Joseph Andrew, who will give us a wonderful talk, and I'm sure you're going to be preaching, Stosh, and myself, you have to put up with my words. but we will have opportunities, hopefully, I think, right, for people to go to confession.
Oh, all morning. All
okay,
morning.
Good.
Yep.
So I also want to invite people, maybe somebody out there hasn't made a good confession in 3 years.
Yeah.
Or 10 years.
Yeah.
20, 30, 40, 50, 60, year, 70. And so maybe somebody's out there listening right now that maybe has something, a burden on their, that they've been carrying around. Maybe they've been too ashamed to confess verbally in confession. They didn't know how to confess it. They didn't have the words. I even invite them, because the Lord wants to heal them. The Lord wants to lift them of that burden. And just to be able to come to this conference and to just even make a good confession for maybe the first time in decades, I think that would be a huge grace.
Absolutely.
For them in their life. And just to let it go. And like, just look at Christ the King Church as a dumping ground, right?
A very beautiful one out of that, yeah.
Yeah, a very beautiful dumping ground. Yeah, it's not, you know, but a dumping ground for sin. You know, just dump your sins and come to this conference and experience, you know, what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be a brother and sister of Jesus Christ, and what it means to be devoted to Mary and live the Christian life.
You're listening to Faith Alive on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. We just heard two interviews that we did as a part of the October 2017 Sacred Heart Hour. First, we heard from Sister Joseph Andrew, and then we just wrapped up with Father John Paul Mary. So hope you enjoyed those two interviews and our replay of this year's Congress. If you'd like to download a copy of these talks or share it with friends, please visit the special features page of our audio archive at stgabrielradio.com. To learn more about the Sacred Heart devotion and what's happening here in Columbus with the home enthronements, the business enthronements, and the Sacred Heart devotion in general, please visit sacredheartcolumbus.org. Thanks for joining us today. God bless and have a great day.